the fine Detroit Free Press business writer, and he's on the other end of our line. Brent, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Tony. How are you doing?
Good, good. Enjoyed your article. Sales of new autos in 2011 are expected to top $12.5 million. It's an interesting story and obviously a positive story after what we've seen over the last few years.
Yeah. What we're seeing is, despite a rocky economy and some big bumps this year, it's still a slow, steady recovery for the auto industry for 2011, for December, and for next year. So that's good news for really for all manufacturers, and eventually good news for employment in the auto industry.
Now they're cautiously optimistic about not only 2012 but 2013. Are they over optimistic, or you think they're right on target?
Yeah, I mean, I've challenged some of these forecasters on their forecasts, and they seem very confident in their predictions now. And remember, I mean, basically for 2012, for the year that will arrive here in a few days, basically we're seeing forecasts of about another 10% increase, or about another 1 million in new car and truck sales expected for 2012. And I say, well, what about the European debt crisis? What about presidential elections can put some uncertainty into the economy as well, and that's often not a great thing for car sales. The people I'm talking to are saying, yeah, even with those risks, they think that we'll see another steady, solid increase in sales next year.
Well, looking at the story, and you get numbers from Edmunds.com, J.D. Power, as well as TrueCar.com. They're all same ballpark, and
yeah,
it looks like they're predicting nearly the same for 2012, up to another million cars as opposed to what they sold last year, so that's good news.
Right, exactly. And an element here that I didn't touch on real heavily, I think what 2012 also could be is a better year, in fact, for the consumer than 2011 was, because in 2011 we had this, a very tragic and unfortunate tsunami earthquake situation in Japan that really hurt the Asian automakers and inventory, for many months here in the U.S. So what you'll see this year is, of course, I mean, barring another natural disaster of some sort, the Asian automakers will be back with full inventory, and it'll be a more competitive year on the industry end, which of course means possibly slightly more lucrative incentives and sales on the buyers end. And in addition to that, consumer credit is continuing to loosen up a little bit for the car on the car loan end. So you might get a better incentive and still a good interest rate and a good loan package. So
we're talking
that'll
about. We're talking with
and that'll help sales too.
Yeah, well, we're talking with Detroit Free Press business writer Brent Snavely here on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Just wanted to get your thoughts about the electric car, one of them, the Chevy Volt. It hasn't sold as much as many thought. Well, what's your take on that?
Well, interesting that you ask. I'm actually, because I'm not typically the Free Press's GM beat reporter, I have only ever driven the Volt for about 20 minutes until last night. I'm driving a test car for the Volt. I've only driven it now about 4 miles, but I'll have it for a week, so I'll be able to more completely answer your question soon. But the big picture here is, I think a public relations challenge for GM as much as it is a technical challenge. You had one or two vehicles that had this fire problem several weeks after it was tested, and there's an investigation into that. They're looking to fix it, you know. But I think overwhelmingly the car, you know, is safe. It's been certified by all kinds of regulatory bodies, and the sales. You're right. The sales have not met the 10,000 goal that GM had this year. But I think it's really, when you introduce a new technology, it's really hard to predict how the market is going to react to it, whether it's going to take off immediately or not. Sometimes it takes a new technology a long time to be adopted. So I think whether or not they meet this, an arbitrary 10,000 sales mark in this first year of sales, to me, this is not going to be the tale of whether or not the product is ultimately successful.
Is GM going to face some challenges? Because there are critics who say they shouldn't get the tax breaks they get on this vehicle. There are people, entities like the Board of Water and Light here in Lansing, which is ready to move forward and build recharging stations at work sites, at public sites, and that hasn't geared up the way they thought it was. So there's still some challenges there.
I'm not familiar with the Lansing situation, but, you know, absolutely. There's a lot of challenges on several different ends of this, and you touched on some of them there. And yet another challenge is that, GM and the manufacturers, I give them credit, they are their own competitors here, right? They, you know, you've got compact cars and now even some midsize sedans that have very good fuel economy with a regular gasoline engine. So, you know, with gas prices stabilizing, maybe even falling a little bit with a European debt crisis and the ability to buy a car that gets 40 miles per gallon on the highway, looking at the price of a plug-in or electric car, it doesn't seem like as much of an urgent or necessary buy for consumers, and yet we've got a situation where our country is trying to get to, higher CAFE standards by 2016, and in order to do that, you need to sell more electric cars. So there's a lot of questions and a lot of interesting challenges there, and it's going to be fascinating to watch it play out.
All right, Brent, before we let you go, I want to get your perspective on the Detroit situation, the business point of view of what would happen should an emergency financial manager be placed there. I was reading an interesting story in the Free Press that detailed the problem in Detroit is even worse than we thought, and should that city go bankrupt, it would take years and years to clean up that mess and cost taxpayers millions and millions of dollars. What's your take on that story?
I'm going to be careful here. It's not a story that I'm in the middle of reporting on, you know, but of course I'm a business reporter and I do live in the city of Detroit. The number that keeps screaming out at me, having covered and written about automotive bankruptcies and corporate bankruptcies, you know, I think a lot of attention has been given to the annual budget deficit in Detroit, but the number that sticks out to me is long-term debt, $12 billion in long-term debt. And I'm trying to get my head around that. It is a stunning figure, and you know, it is a figure that to me makes it more likely that we're going to have to deal with and go through an emergency financial manager situation or even bankruptcy. And I just hope that the residents of the city, the community, and the greater, you know, Southeast Michigan and Michigan community is ready to deal with that as a team, rather than figuring out who's to blame, because there are decades of issues that are to blame here, and we don't have time to figure out who's to blame. We need to fix the problem.
All right. We've been talking with Brent Snavely from the Detroit Free Press. Brent, have a happy New Year. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot.